Good morning. Happy Easter. It's my privilege to read from God's Word this morning, and I'm going to read from John chapter 20 and verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Wendy. Shall we just pray for a few moments? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we pray that right now your Holy Spirit would open up your word and help us to understand what that glorious truth means for each one of us. Amen. Well, of course, right now, right around the world, Christians all over are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And this is the traditional greeting. You've done it at least once. Let's just do it again. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, that's a warm-up, right? Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So what? So what? The cynics would say. Even if he did rise from the dead, what difference does that make to anybody? Well, I think Mary Magdalene could answer that question quite clearly. Wouldn't you agree? Let's be absolutely clear. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is of the utmost importance to Christians. And the story of the risen Jesus appearing to Mary helps us to understand why. It points to three reasons why the resurrection is so vitally important. Firstly, it means that the past is forgiven. The past is forgiven, and Mary certainly needed to know that. Mary Magdalene was a lady with a history, as they say. And, well, we've all got a history, haven't we? Was she the lady caught in adultery, the one that Jesus prevented from being stoned to death with his few well-chosen words? Was she the sinful woman that Jesus forgave completely, the one who wet his feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured expensive perfume over them? Actually, probably not. Mary Magdalene has been much maligned over the centuries, but what we do know for sure is that she was one from whom Jesus cast out seven demons. And nobody can be so contaminated by Satan and need such deliverance without very good reason. Mary Magdalene was indeed, in the words of the old hymn, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And of course, those who are forgiven much, love much. So it was Mary who became a dedicated follower of Jesus. She was one of the ladies that travelled around with Jesus and the disciples. She helped to contribute towards their material needs. And I think she must have thought on that Easter day, if Jesus was there for me when I desperately needed someone, so I'll be there for him. She was one of those faithful followers who were present at the cross when Jesus died, and she was up early on that Sunday morning to anoint Jesus' body and so to treat it with respect. And Jesus, perhaps maybe alone among men, had treated her with respect and dignity in his life. So if she couldn't prevent his dying, then the least she could do was to honour him in his death. You know, Jesus came for people like Mary, and he came for me and you. You know, he did the most wonderful things in life. He healed the sick. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. He touched the untouchables. He loved the unlovable. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. But above all, Jesus came to die upon the cross in our place and to take the punishment for our sin. For Mary's, for yours and mine, he carried the can. He paid the price. He actually changed places with us. He became sin for us. All of that is about Calvary. But if he remained dead, then it would have meant he wasn't who he said he was. We'd still be facing judgment for our sin, as Mary would have been for hers, as St. Paul puts it, writing to the Corinthians. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Again, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. I guess the theological implications of the permanent death of Jesus were lost on Mary. She just missed him desperately and would have given anything to have had him back from the dead. But Jesus really did rise from the dead, as Mary was to discover. And by raising Jesus from the dead, God the Father was in fact saying that he approved of Jesus' work of suffering and dying for our sins, that he regarded what he did as being complete, that he no longer had any need to remain dead, that he'd paid the penalty for sin, and there was no more wrath to bear. He'd no more guilt or liability to cover, because all had been paid for. As Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus had found favour in his sight by his death. And that's what St. Paul was thinking of when he wrote to the Romans. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And so here's the thought. If the death of Jesus in payment of sin was so acceptable to God, why do we tend to dwell on past mistakes and maybe look back with regret over our own history, when in fact God has forgiven and forgotten the past? Why do we think that we have to do something more to earn God's love, as if to make up for the past? It's dealt with, it's cleansed, we're forgiven. And Jesus, through his death, has achieved that, and that's acceptable to God. So that's the first reason that Jesus rose from the dead, to ensure that our past is forgiven. Second reason why Jesus rose from the dead is to show that the present is transformed. The present is transformed. And Mary was to become completely transformed that first Easter morning. Poor Mary. She had no one standing alongside her to comfort her outside the empty tomb. She was horribly alone. Even the disciples, Peter and John, had left and gone home. They just trudged off after seeing the empty tomb. And there's probably no words that can describe what she must have been feeling deep in her heart at that time. So Mary stood there alone, weeping outside the tomb. I say weeping, it literally means in the original language that she was wailing. Her grief was so intense. So as she stood there, Mary symbolized all those who grieve because they have no hope of ever seeing a loved one again, who cry because they can't see beyond their present circumstances, those who ache because there is something missing deep down inside them. Ever felt like that? Is that how it is this morning? And notice that Mary, she was so distraught that she saw two angels, both dressed in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. But she didn't sort of put two and two together and think, oh, hang on a minute, it's empty and there's angels standing here. She couldn't think straight. She saw the empty tomb and assumed the worst, that Jesus' body had been stolen. But she couldn't see any other possibility. She could only see negatives. And you know that grief can do that. It can confuse us and blind us to the bigger picture that God sees. And then Mary saw Jesus through her tears and the early morning mist, and yet she failed to identify him. And that gives us another thought. We can be so consumed with our problems that we fail to recognize God in our situation. It's often not until much later that we see the grace of God at work. It's then that we realize that God brought people into our lives because he knew that we needed them. It's then we realize that Jesus was there too, although we never realized it at the time. Fortunately for Mary, the end of her anguish was in sight. You know, David said in the Psalm 34 and verse 18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Jesus spoke to Mary, and notice his question. Who is it you're looking for? Not what is it you're looking for, but who? No thing can ever be a substitute for the one thing that we need above anything else in life, a lasting relationship in which we feel totally accepted at all times. Accepted by a person who will never leave us or forsake us, no matter how much we mess up. And the only person who can give us that is the risen Jesus himself. Do you agree? Good. What happened next between Jesus and Mary is one of the most moving and beautiful exchanges in the whole of Scripture, indeed in any literature. Never have such a few words been so charged with emotion. This is so moving that when John wrote his gospel, he chose to record the names of both Jesus and Mary in verse 16 in Aramaic, which is the language that they spoke. It's also recorded the actual word that Mary used. Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned and cried, "Rabboni," teacher. Rabboni is a stronger form of the word rabbi. It means my teacher. Mary needed no complex theological or historical argument for the truth of the resurrection, and neither do you and I. What she really needed was a personal experience of Jesus, and just hearing him speak her name was enough. But then Jesus is the shepherd of his sheep, and did he not once say, he calls his own sheep by name. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. On hearing her name, Mary was instantly transformed. Her grief was turned into joy. She was now convinced that Jesus was alive. But what about you and me? How do we know today that Jesus is risen from the dead? Well, we may want to reflect on the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. For example, There was the failure of Jesus' enemies to produce his corpse and to prove quite simply that he was dead. There was the change in the disciples who quickly became joyful and fearless after seeing Jesus. There was the rapid growth of the early church around the world in the time following. And all of that points to the truth of the resurrection. And of course, St. Paul had no doubt about it whatsoever. He later wrote this to the Corinthians. I passed on to you what I received, which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to all 12 apostles, and then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. And then he appeared to James and afterwards to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me. By the way, GNT stands for Good News Translation, not gin and tonic. I just thought I'd tell you that. It's all good stuff, right? But historical evidence alone, no matter how good it is, can only give us an intellectual faith. What's needed is the faith in here, not just up there in our heads. And that's what Mary had, and it came from her personal experience and encounter with the risen Jesus, and it changed her life completely. You see, you and I might not meet Jesus in the way that Mary did, but you know that every time we read the scripture and the words leap from the page, as it were, and our hearts are strangely warmed, to use the words of John Wesley, then we're meeting Jesus. Every time the word of God challenges us and sometimes shakes us, we're meeting the risen Jesus. Every time we pray and experience a peace that passes all understanding, then we're meeting the risen Jesus. Every time we receive grace, mercy, and help from another Christian, in reality, we're meeting Jesus. When we gather and break bread together, we proclaim the Lord is here, and so he is. And crucially, when the Holy Spirit touches our lives as Jesus promised he would, we're encountering the risen Jesus, and that can only but transform us. So, what is the difference that the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes to you and me? Firstly, it means that our past is forgiven, and secondly, the present is transformed. And lastly, thirdly, it means the future is assured. And that was true for Mary and for all believers. When Mary recognized Jesus, she must have fell on her knees and clasped his feet. And she must have thought to herself, I lost you once and I'm not losing you again. But Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. That is, I'm not going anywhere just yet, so there's no need to hang on to me, or more likely, things have changed now. Don't try and hold me back, because I'm going to my Father. So why was his return to the Father so vitally important? Well, the Bible tells us that he was returning so that the Holy Spirit could come and take his place in the lives of those who were and are believers in Jesus and assure us of his presence. That's what it says. Again, the Bible tells us that Jesus was going to prepare a place for us, and that one day he'd return for us. Indeed, his resurrection proved him to be a kind of a first fruit of the crop that is to come. That's you and me. And again, the Bible tells us that Jesus is in heaven right now. He's praying, he's interceding for us in all our difficulties. Satan condemns us before God day and night, but Jesus is there. He's speaking up for us. He's risen, and he's pointing, as it were, to his cross. And we are not condemned. And that's why Jesus was to ascend and to leave Mary, but not to leave her desolate. She had hope for the future, and her future was assured. Yet, sadly, there are so many in this world who grieve and have no hope. Yet there are many like Mary who do have hope for the future. It's not wishful thinking either, but a living hope founded on the word of God. And the Apostle Peter himself, an eyewitness of the resurrection, later wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." How precious is this living hope, this assurance about our future? It's no secret, there's a number of dear brothers and sisters in our church family, and you've heard it again this morning, those who are grieving right now, grieving because they have lost someone over this last year or so, and some have died quite recently. And I'm reminded how my own mother, years ago, she was taken ill the week before Easter, and she died a week after. And it's so very hard, isn't it? But then you might say that grief is like the price that we pay for love. So we take our stand on the word of God and the consequences of the resurrection of Jesus. And here's St. Paul again, writing again to the Corinthians. He says, "Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, through the glorious resurrection of Jesus, we know that the past is forgiven, the present is transformed, and the future is assured. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's take a few moments to reflect and digest on what's been said. Maybe too much to take in all at once. Perhaps like Mary, we feel quite desolate right now for all sorts of reasons. Yet in all our struggles, the risen Jesus seeks to come in to our situation and into our hearts. For Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." And that's a promise from the risen Lord Jesus, not the words of a dead man. So I'll say a simple prayer, and if you want to make it your own, then just say Amen at the end. Lord, I dare to believe that you have risen from the dead. Do for me what you did for Mary. Lord, make yourself known to me. Come into my heart. Make the changes that you see are needed. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. And be with me now and forever.